You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right, let's get started.
All right, Athena Protection Service, Athena Protection Podcast. Well, today we're going to, I think we'll introduction of the company will be good, introduction of the foundation, introduction of ourselves, and then we can get rolling.
Can you say Athena Protection?
Yeah.
Can you spell podcast that for the listeners out there?
That's Athena, A-T-H-E-N-A, Protection Service.
Awesome.
And we work on behalf of all law-abiding citizens. So this is Athena Protection, law-abiding citizens. That's what we work for. That's what we do all our business for.
And who are you? I'm interviewing you like I'm the interviewer.
Okay. You can interview me. That's cool. Okay. I'm Dan, and I started the company. We've been doing this since 2014. We started off doing the CPL, Concealed Pistol License courses. That's what we started doing. We do security work, armed and unarmed guard. We have security license. We have private investigation license. We can do private investigations and any intelligence work anybody may need. So we can do threat assessments, risk assessments, things like that to cover any business.
Okay.
A little bit about myself. I'm a Marine Corps veteran. Worked for the Detroit Police Department from 2002 until 2014. And I currently work within the Department of Homeland Security. But my main love is working with the Athena Protection Service and the Athena Protection Foundation, which is dedicated to assisting crime victims.
Okay, so it's the Athena Protection Services, as well
security.
As the security, yep. As well as the foundation.
And the foundation.
Okay, great, great. That's awesome. And you mentioned law-abiding citizens. Yes. I like that. That's got a catch to it.
I know. That's a great guy I know came up with that name and that whole concept of the law-abiding citizen.
Make a mental note about that law-abiding citizen and set that to the side. We may be onto something with that name. All right. Well, before I introduce the next guest, tell you a little bit about myself. I'm Carl, also from Athena Protection. Actually, funny story about Dan. He and I are actually related. So we ain't, you know how they say you got a brother from another mother. Well, this is really a brother from kind of the same mother because we all come from our grandmother as first cousins. Mm-hmm. But came to me with the idea back in 2013, I think, and told me about your master plan. And I said, wow, I got to be a part of that. I was like, how can I be down? Like kid and play. I was like, I want to get involved in that. And, you know, just tell you a little bit about myself, you know, not having the law enforcement background, but most definitely my part that I bring to the table is the strong management background, multiple years in management with big box retail. More recently, I've been more involved with direct sales, being outside sales, business to business, in-home residential sales. So a lot of experience with talking to people and selling them on why they should be buying whatever it is that I'm selling. So just a little bit about myself. And we also have a guest in here with us today.
Mr. Will Medley, tell everybody about yourself.
Will Medley.
Yeah, my name is Will Medley. I'm a former Detroit police officer. Also, I started in 1999.
Woo!
Ooh, yeah. Retired in 2017. Started teaching law enforcement to high school students because I felt the need to educate not only just people in general, young people, but our people. What else? I've been doing that now for 4 to 5 years.
Okay. Man, so, I got to tell you, you look familiar.
Yeah.
I want to say.
I didn't write you that ticket, brother.
No. I'm going to trip you out because I want to say you was one of my customers in my many years of retail at T-Mobile.
Probably. I
want to say back in maybe Oak Park.
Yep, that was me then.
10 Mile Greenfield.
10 Mile in Greenfield. Wow.
Yeah. I'm getting old, but I remember a little
that's
bit.
That's good.
And that's so funny how life.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
You never know who you meet and who you're talking to.
Same ugly person or or what?
No, I just remember you was a police officer back then. I don't think you ever came in your uniform, but, you know, just having a family member, which I have a few family members involved in law enforcement. But I just remember you was a cool dude. I didn't have no problem with you. Yeah, I didn't meet you out there under bad circumstances.
I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't really one of those police officers who were who sought out to kind of jam somebody up.
Okay.
I literally believed in protecting and serving. So.
And I think everybody, it's kind of like when you go and interview for a job, then, you know, you're not going to tell them on the job, hey, my goal is to
not
come to work on time. I'm saying in the interview process.
In the interview process.
You're not going to be like, you know, I tend to, especially after y'all done paid me.
After hearing some of the stories about the hiring process with the department, I'm like, man, it's time for me to get out of here before I lose it.
Wow.
There's always somebody on the job where you look at them and be like, man, how this dude get in here?
Exactly. And then when you find out how they were, who hired them and how that interview process went, you go, wow, it's good to have a family member in high places.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely.
So back to the thing of protection, you talked a little bit about the CCW training, or formerly known as CPL, Concealed Pistol License Training. You know, that's something that obviously people in the Metro Detroit area with the current climate may feel like it's something that's important to them. So if you could just talk about that a little bit more in detail.
Yeah, I really want to go over is really what I heard this week.
Okay.
So I got a phone call from a guy that we gave the class to, and he had a situation, and you know how we do in our particular class, we do a shoot. Don't shoot scenario where we
kind of
you know, teach the students about, you know, when and when not to pull that trigger based on their perception of the threat.
Mm-hmm.
So this gentleman, he in his late 60s, you know, he carry his weapon and he disabled.
Okay.
A younger guy in his 20s threatened him, saw he had the weapon on his hip and told him that he was going to take it from him and kill him. And he said he pulled the weapon out, but he didn't pull the trigger. He said the guy didn't advance him or nothing, but he said he was scared. You know, he didn't want the guy to run up on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me asking if he could have shot him if the guy would have ran up on him. Now,
as a police officer, law enforcement teacher, what would I have said to that?
Yeah.
I'd say, are the pits clear? The pits are clear. Shooters.
The pits, or are you talking about the armed pits?
Okay.
No, no, I'm sorry. I'm talking in that's police lingo, work.
Right? As soon as I said it, he
looked, it was like, yeah.
Okay. And the reason I interjected there, and I like because I am silly.
You're a civilian.
We will have fun, but as a civilian, but, you know, most definitely an interesting topic. Help our listeners, because, you know, right now, this is our first podcast, so we're talking about over a million listeners right now.
Exactly. So when you're talking about, as far as Detroit, when you hear somebody, and this is how you can tell they're a Detroit police officer when it comes to shootings, are the pits clear?
Okay, the pits are clear. Break it down for us.
The pit, we call the pit is the range, the Detroit Police Department shooting range.
Okay.
And one of the things that was said every time you went to training, are the pits clear? So basically, is the target in front of you clear? If it is, shooters, commence fire. So in that situation with the person being disabled.
Absolutely.
Young man makes the statement that I'm going to take your gun and I'm going to kill you.
Kill you.
You know.
Those are some harsh words.
Those are harsh words.
Very.
Now, as a disabled person, elderly person, 20-year-old guy come at me, would I have taken a shot? Probably. I'm going to be honest, probably. But if I pulled a gun and he said, oh, wait, he's serious about this, and he take off running the other way, I'm cool. But if he make that step, and I just need that one step,
when you say as long as if he turns and goes away, he's not a threat to me.
Right. So because
you can't be shooting him in the ass or nothing as he runs off.
No. I always tell people, don't get me wrong. You can shoot a person in the back. but you better be able to justify why you did it. Mm-hmm. But what I would say in that situation, I'm glad he didn't shoot. He used some sense, because there are people who will shoot. For instance, there was long ago, a guy who was standing outside cutting his grass.
Okay.
And he had been beefing with some people down the street. Front door open. He sees the guy with his girlfriend walking towards him. Words get exchanged. The guy pulls his gun. The guy is probably about 20 yards away or so. He shoots it, him and the girl.
Wow.
Person asked me, what's going to happen? I said, that person going to jail 15 years for real. But they've been beefing. They've been beefing 15 years. You had a chance to remove yourself from that situation, but you chose
they could to take close that, the door,
walk up on your porch and go shoot. I mean, close the door, lock it.
You said go shoot.
Well, go shoot. I'm sorry. Don't shoot. Don't shoot.
Don't shoot.
What I'm saying is.
And I mean, and you bring up a valid point there, because you talk about you own your property, and this ain't about, you know, being no coward or nothing. At the end of the day, I love that end of the day.
At the end of the day, but you want to be home to protect your property.
Exactly.
Right. Now,
if he want to follow you into your house, then that's a whole other story.
The pits are clear.
You know, like you said, the pits is clear at that point.
Pits are clear. You
know, that might be a tagline word that you may hear from us for many moons to come. Right. Pits are clear.
But the thing about it, people, because they get the CPLs, and this is where I'll often go back and forth, even with law abiding citizens, just because you got a gun or a CPL don't mean you're free to shoot. As a police officer, I have to make a decision. And often that decision is life or death.
Exactly.
So if I'm, and I know the paperwork that comes with it, because I haven't pulled the trigger, and they used to call me 18 pages because that's how much paperwork I would cause a supervisor for doing my job.
Okay.
So if it's 18 pages for a police officer on something with hand to hand, imagine what it's going to be when I pull that trigger. Mm-hmm. They going to take my gun.
You're getting charged with homicide.
Right. They have a warrant typed up before you even walk into homicide to tell your side of the story.
They already got it typed up.
They already got a pre-typed out police officer, Wilbur Medley, Will Medley.
Yeah, just so people know, if you pull that trigger, you will be charged with homicide.
Right away.
Is it justified or not is the question.
And
right, because somebody did lose their life. So
right. And on top of that.
I understand it now.
On top of that, imagine you being the person who always was enforcing the law, and you walk into a room quite like this one.
Okay.
And somebody look at you and say, you have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney if you cannot afford one. And you're going, man, I just did my job.
Yep. And like I tell everybody else, keep your mouth shut. When you on that side of the law,
just shut up.
Keep your mouth shut. Wait for your attorney to come. And then
I don't care.
You talk to your attorney.
So supervisor come to the scene, be like, man, what happened? You got to tell them. Here's the bad part. Okay. You have to tell what you did to somebody who can technically take what you said and report it to IA.
Wow.
And you have no choice. So, like, people say, well, I got the right to the Fifth. You got a right. No, I don't. I'm going to have to make that statement.
So when we bring it back to, you know, we talk about the disabled gentleman you brought up, and that was a really good example. When we flip it and we talk about the citizen, say, had it unfortunately went the other way, and this gentleman, the disabled gentleman, did shoot this younger 20-year-old, as we stated, for whatever reason, he came at him in an aggressive way, and he did end up shooting him. And you said something interesting, Dan. You talked about don't say nothing, and make sure we break this down a little bit, because I'm sure our listeners are understand. I don't want them to misunderstand this as
I'm a police.
Some street code type of
make sure they understand
the reason why they need to be quiet. Break it down for
them. When we say don't say nothing, say Dan come up on me, hey Will, what happened? Dan, me and you cool? You in that uniform, bro.
Exactly.
I ain't saying nothing.
And the reason you don't want to do that is that there's something called excited utterance.
Exactly.
Right? That's what I was digging for. I wanted to turn on that street. I didn't want y'all to tell y'all that was the street. I wanted y'all to get me there though.
But
he's right, because if I go
break that down for
and if I am gonna say something, it's gonna be, I can't believe that mother came at me.
Yeah.
He came at me with such and such. That's all you gonna hear from me. Mm-hmm. Because how did he come at you?
Or it could be something as simple as, I ain't trusting when I saw him.
Now exactly.
You got a premeditated condition in your mind.
That's where I was going.
So I tell anybody, and I tell my students, if you are accused of a crime, unfortunately, as a police officer, I love it if you talk. But I'm gonna be honest with you. You shouldn't talk. Shut your mouth. I need a lawyer. Because what you say may not be, because they're going to ask you a question that you can't remember at that time. So get me a lawyer, because my lawyer can tell me, hey, first let me talk to my client to see what happened and straighten out what's going on.
Understandable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Very important.
Because emotions high. Emotions run high. You know, it's been a shooting or stabbing or whatever the case may be. Your emotions high. You might not remember exactly what happened.
And you say they call that utterance of
excited utterance. And that's when you just blurt something out.
Exactly.
You know, about how you felt about the person or some perception you may had or just something you talking. You might just be talking. Because police officers are real smooth. You know, they'll come in and start being your friend.
Oh, we good.
And,
I'm sorry.
They'll get to talking and politicking with you.
This guy.
And then before you know it, you know, you telling your life story and you all your –
me and Dan, I remember Dan had a partner, great girl, but he would go to a scene and he'd be so smooth. I just sit back and watch. It's like an orchestra, because I've had situations where the guys, the heat of an emotion, hey, bro, nah. See Dan walk in, Dan, same thing. Hey, calm down. See, when we come in and say calm down, we really asking you to say some stuff. And it's just because what happens if I tell you, hey, bro, calm down. It's all right. Mm-hmm. I've had guys admit that they beat their girls. Man, you just don't know. Bro.
I don't have no love for them. But,
bro,
this is really a good topic and a good – I like what y'all breaking down for people that's listening and
but this is for law-abiding.
We're talking about law-abiding citizens.
Right.
And we breaking it down, and I like, you know, I like what I'm hearing here. And just to summarize as we continue on, we really saying, look, it's important not that you're trying to be deceitful, but to keep you a law-abiding citizen.
Understand what your rights are.
And knowing what you're doing, don't need to be saying.
Right.
You need to shut the hell up.
Right. Because the first thing we say is you have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will, not can and might, not maybe, can and will be used against you.
Here go the catch up, though.
Exactly.
Let's say you shoot somebody. I'm going to put you in the back of my car. I'm not going to tell you had a right to remain silent at all, because I'm not questioning you about what you did.
Exactly.
So, you know what I'm saying? I'm in the back of the car now. I'm painting a picture for the people that's not here in the room with us today.
Go ahead. Me and Dan got you.
You're in the back of the car.
Go ahead.
Hey, Dan. Hey, so we got one, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got the paperwork? You got his name? You got his info? Hey, man, what's your name?
I'm going to plead the fifth at this
time.
Hey, bro.
Hey, look, man. Look, that's not what we here for. I just need your name, your date of birth, address. That's it. I don't want none of all. I ain't got nothing to talk to you about. Just give me your name and your number. What's your name?
I understand that, sir.
Bruh. Okay, here you go.
You need to talk to my lawyer.
You need to talk to your lawyer? All right. Well, here's the thing.
Okay, break it down for me.
I can hold you for 72 hours.
That's fine, sir.
So when those prints come back, I'm going to get it. So Let's stop playing this game, man. I'm not even questioning you about anything.
Right. I'm going to go ahead and wait that 72 hours.
You going to wait that 72 hours?
What y'all going to have to eat? Tomorrow's Sunday. Y'all be getting that bologna. What y'all got, McDonald's on Sunday?
You're going to be with the state now.
You're going to be with the state. So yeah, break that down for us.
Yeah, once we lock you up, we take you over to Michigan Department of Corrections.
Yeah.
Old Mound in Nevada.
Yeah, that's where you're going to be at.
That's where you're going to be at for the weekend.
When we say 9 Mile in Nevada, we're not talking about that Coney Island.
No, we're not talking about 7 Mile. We're talking about the old Ryan Prison facility.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's where you housed at.
That's where we're going to house.
But you're in the back of the car.
Right.
If you say anything, I can write that down just because you're talking.
Okay.
Just because you might just be back there just talking because you heated.
Yeah. I can't believe that mofo did that to me.
Okay.
He told me he was going to do it. So I got him first.
One time, stabbed his stepson. Killed him.
Oh, wow.
And he's sitting.
Uh-oh.
Let's hear everybody going off.
Not me. I don't care about no local emergencies.
I don't know. So look, dude.
I'm kidding. I care. Yeah. I'm a law-abiding citizen.
Dude stab his stepson, right?
Okay.
They take him off in an ambulance. He jump in the back of the car and start talking. Man, that motherfucker sucker punched me earlier.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay, he punched you earlier. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm just writing. You know what I'm saying? He's steady talking and I'm writing because I ain't asking him no questions.
Let him talk.
You know, so I'm letting him talk. And doing that, that's a good way to get yourself jammed up.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys bring up some really good points.
Because the misnomer about the Miranda rights is that police officers, once we put cuffs on you or arrest you, we have to give them to you. That's the misnomer. No. Only time I have to tell you your Miranda rights is when I'm about to ask you questions about the crime. So
if you just start talking on your own,
go for it.
You just messed up, player.
And guess what? I'm a cool guy. But if you're wrong, I'm writing it down.
Right. Matter just fact, to back up, man.
And sure, I don't have to say nothing. I don't even have to write nothing because you're talking on. Once I open that back door, it starts recording.
Right. So it's cameras and audio cameras in the car.
Everything, right.
Camera and audio. Mm-hmm. So just to recap on that is, again, we talking about law-abiding citizens who,
right,
for whatever reason, been put into a situation where, mm-hmm, unfortunately they had to fire their weapon. And I got two police officers, former police officers, in the room. And the advice that both of them are giving us is, look, when you get in the back of that police vehicle or encountering the police, you need to be very careful as to what you're saying because you could be 100% right in that. But under the stress or the overwhelming amount of emotions that you're going through because of the situation, you're going to start just uttering things.
Exactly.
And it could be used against you, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately.
Wow, that's deep. That's deep.
And I don't think this will probably be the closest you'll get to an open and honest answer from police officers.
But that's what we're trying to get a better understanding of both sides because there's a lot of misperceptions out there.
So with my man, I told him, hey, man, it ain't about what the law say or what I think.
Exactly.
When you're in a situation and you feel like your life is in danger, that situation is based off what you think and what you believe.
Exactly.
If you thought your life was in danger and he approached you to take your weapon with that intent, he just told you he was going to do it.
Exactly.
When he go into his intent and come towards you, then you got to be able to articulate the level of fear that you have for your life. And if you can do that, then you can explain why you pulled the trigger to get rid of that threat that he was posing to you. Because you're an old man. You're disabled. You got a weapon. He said he going to take your weapon and kill you with it.
Okay.
So had he advanced you, I said my advice to you would have been to use the necessary force that is required to get rid of that threat.
Okay.
And if that necessary force meant you needed to escalate to, to shooting, then so be it. It's all about your perception of the fear.
Exactly. And that's the thing that I think people don't realize. They want to use terms, or they think they're using terms, or to help themselves and really harming themselves.
Okay. What do you mean when you say that?
They want to sound like the police. But then when the police do the same thing, they don't want to give the same benefit of the doubt. You can fear for your life as a citizen, but as soon as a police officer said, well, I fear for the safety of people around me and my own life, and I took the shot.
Yeah.
But that's part of your job. Hold up. Guy advances at you, whether you train, like I tell somebody, it's just be careful what you say. That's all I can say. Stop trying to try to be a lawyer when you got a lot of people who I consider hood lawyers. I went to a class once or twice. I heard it on TV, you know, and then they hood lawyers. Stop it.
Okay.
Talk to a professional. Talk to somebody who knows. Go get training. Those trainers should know the law.
Right.
And they should train you what the law says.
So back to when we talked about the CPL training and part of the course that Athena Protection offer is you get that type of insight into the importance of what to do in the event that some happens. So what are some other things that, back to the CPL class, because that's my something definitely does, I feel like a lot of people may feel like they want to be able to carry a concealed weapon. And even talking about a concealed weapon, because we live here in Michigan, and there's some confusion around how and what ways you can carry a weapon. So could one of you guys break that down for me and just get an insight on, because of the law here in Michigan, what you can and can't do with a weapon. And then, of course, when we talk about a concealed weapon and even what a concealed weapon means.
If you don't have a concealed pistol license, then you can purchase a weapon. You can go to the gun store. Okay. You can purchase a weapon. You can transport that weapon locked in a box, unloaded, in the furthest part of the car away from the driver. You can do that.
Anybody can do that.
Not anybody.
Anybody who's legally able to buy a weapon.
If you're a law-abiding citizen.
You can do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Law-abiding citizens.
Right. But, but if you have, the CPL, then, you can carry your weapon concealed. And that's concealed is under your clothing in a holster, properly holstered, or you can carry it in a box if that's what you choose to do in your lockbox. But again, your weapon is concealed when you get in the car or if it's concealed on your body. If you don't have a license and you get in the car, it's considered concealed because people outside can't see it.
So here is some, you hit on a point right there. And I think it's important we back up a little bit on this block and talk about that before we leave it. So even though in Michigan, the law is that you can open carry.
Michigan has no true law on open carry.
Yeah. There's nothing against it.
And there's no law that says you can't do it. So for me, that says that Michigan is not really an open carry law state. It's just a law that doesn't have a law.
Yeah,
it's a state that doesn't have a law about carrying.
So even when you're trying to
an open weapon,
when you're trying to utilize or take advantage of this state law or non-law, you brought up something that was kind of interesting because you said, okay, anybody can carry, meaning you can put a weapon on your head.
Anybody can carry a weapon.
But the Motor City, as soon as you jump in that Hellcat, it's concealed. Is that what you're telling me?
That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
You get on a bike.
That's important.
You get on a motorcycle.
Guys, y'all folks out there in
if you're on a motorcycle,
podcast land, that's interesting.
Anything with an engine.
Okay.
If you get on a Segway, that's an engine.
Okay.
Now, here's a question I have. Would you consider a bike, a regular bike, an engine?
We're talking about with a chain and just pedals.
That's
too much technicality.
That's too much technicality, but the law says.
I don't think so. That's not an engine.
We say that, but the state of Michigan, again.
I mean, you the engine. you of the a engine. Bicycle. I mean, if we talking about a bicycle.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
I agree.
That's something to be argued in a court of law. Something for us to be arguing like at the table.
Yeah, we're going to table it. That has been, because that was one of the things that have been questioned by others. I completely
disagree with you if that's what you think.
Okay.
That a person is the engine of a bike.
Are you the engine? Is it automatic?
No, or it's not.
Are you walking?
No.
So what are you doing?
Riding a bike.
Okay, so when you ride a motorcycle, what are you doing?
You riding the bike.
Okay, it's the same thing.
No, it ain't the same, because you got to pedal the bike. You sit on the
motorcycle. I got to shift the gears.
Yeah, no.
So it's just like when that dress was blue or if it was gold. And
that was a gold dress. Don't tell me it was blue.
It was gold.
but those are the things that you... That's why the law.
Let me write this down, because we're coming back to this.
No problem. What I'm gonna say is this:
I completely disagree that if you're riding a bike,
if I saw you on a bike with a gun, I'm not gonna stop. Let me first clear that up. But what I'm saying is, there will be officers who will say split hairs on that. I would worry about again, because we don't have the law that says what an engine is and what isn't an engine. Again, it's led up to interpretation.
I mean, I think just the simple fact of people having a perception of what's concealed or not, the fact of even getting in the car, I personally wouldn't have thought that would be considered concealed.
But can I say that?
Because before I got in there, I understand now. You make great sense.
Yeah. Even if I'm sitting in the truck and I can look down and see the gun, it's still concealed.
I understand it now, but it's just a point that I think a lot of people would misconstrue because of what they perceive the law to be. So you need to most definitely understand these laws.
It's one of the craziest laws that you can have. Again, it's based off of perception.
Absolutely.
Because I have a family member who got pulled over by a police officer and he has a CPL, but he didn't have a gun. So the officer decided, because he couldn't get him for anything, why didn't you notify me you had a gun?
Absolutely got to do that.
He didn't have a gun.
You ain't got to have a gun.
It doesn't say in the law.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't say in the law that you have to notify the police officer if you're not carrying.
Yes, you do.
We can't.
As a matter of fact.
I just looked it up.
I'll get it to you.
Okay, because I need to know that.
I'll get it to you.
I love when we get these.
You have to, if you get pulled over by the police, the first thing out your mouth is I'm a CPO. I'm a CPO.
Going on here with these two guys.
You got to say that, whether you carry it or not.
I'm going
to say. Because if you don't do that, then they can charge you for it.
Here's a question
I have.
They're
going to give them a civil infraction.
I think that's where Will was going.
Now, here's a question I have for you. Scenario. How you know?
How do who know?
How does the officer know I have a CPO?
Well, that depends if you're the owner of the car or not. Because when he run that plate, he going to know the owner of the car has a CPL. Now, are you the owner? He'll find that out when he gets to the car.
Okay. Again, I'm just looking at it from things that can cause people to get held up. Me personally, like my cousin, I told him. I said, dude, it probably should have. I said the same thing. But that's what the officer say. From now on, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, it's almost but a level of... almost unnecessary.
So one of the things that we want to accomplish here with the podcast, and you guys bring up some great topics. I love the debate of keeping it real 100 for these law-abiding citizens. It's something that I think will probably be really important for a CPL holder to, because it is a hair splitting thing, but let's just keep it real. Some of us out here, when we get pulled over, the chance of you walking away without some type of infraction, we feel like is zero to none. So if you can eliminate every single one of those, whether you got your piece on you or not, if you're a CPO holder, tell them I'm a CPO holder.
That's all I would do.
And let them instruct you from that point on. That would be the safest thing. Say that and don't make another move. Don't scratch your nose.
Exactly.
Don't check your Instagram feed.
You know what's really sad that we have to say that?
Right, but we're trying to keep our brothers and sisters alive.
Exactly. I'm saying it, but it goes to say something about society in general that we have to say that. Because as a CPO owner, me personally, when I get pulled over by police officers, I've rarely had that situation where it gets out of hand. But me personally, I have to explain to my son.
Right, because you come with the experience from your previous employer.
I have to explain to him, hey, or my students, look, this is what you need to do.
Okay.
Be careful. Because I don't want you to get – it's a difference because when they walk up to the car, I guess by their walk and I know how to talk to them because we're from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, what's up, man? I'm on off duty or I'm a retired. You know, we understand. Here we go with the flood again.
We hope it's just a flood.
But
we're dealing with some extreme weather in the Metro Detroit area tonight.
But for me, it's different. Even when I go out of state, those different things, I'm not nervous around police officers.
But everybody can't say that. You know
exactly,
what I'm saying?
Exactly. So
you're gonna get a little bit of leeway just because you're retired. And
exactly.
You used to be a police officer. Everybody can't say
that. Not everybody gonna be able to say that.
And they're not gonna get the same treatment. Thing.
And that's why that's why CPO classes are important.
Yeah.
And I personally think you should be refreshed every so often. And just look at it.
I think just getting a perspective from literally two police officers and what's being offered in that Athena Protection CPL course is you're going to get some real life things to grow on, if I could use that
exactly
term,
that.
Get you home safe every night, just like what every police officer, as long as I can remember, goal has been.
Everybody go home
to
safe,
get home right. safely to their family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
and we all want that same thing.
My thing is, if you get pulled over and you got a CPO, first thing you should be doing is telling them you're a CPO.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Keep your hands on the steering wheel.
Where I can see them.
No.
You like steering wheel. I tell people to see them.
Yeah, because you want to see them, but keep them up high where the officer can see them. Because you don't know what officer approaching that
exactly.
car. We come from Detroit. We live in
we're
Detroit.
We're Detroiters.
So we know people in Detroit. We got family in Detroit.
We're vested.
We in Detroit all the time. So the likeliness of me seeing this person I'm pulling over is high.
Exactly.
And they look like me, so I'm going to treat them with a fair level of respect. Now, in the Detroit Police Department, you got people coming from
Petoskey,
all parts of Michigan.
Exactly.
Who have no ties to the community.
Okay.
And they don't know these people, and they have nothing, invested in these people.
Exactly.
So they treat them a different kind of way. So I always say when you get pulled over, keep your hands where they can be seen. Generally, keep them on top of the steering wheel. Mm-hmm. Let them tell you what to do.
Okay.
You say, I got a CPL. They're going to ask you, next question out their mouth will be,
where is it?
Do you have a weapon on you?
Yep.
Where is it? You can tell them where it's at. Don't go reaching for it.
No, don't do that.
You know what
Please
I'm saying?
Don't.
Just tell them where it's at. Generally, if you have a CPL, if I am at your car, I'm going to tell you to keep it holstered.
Okay.
Depending on what I pulled you over for. Or I'm going to have you step out the car and I'm going to take it off of you during the traffic stop.
Okay.
But, and if you got one, and you told me you got one, it kind of makes me feel a little more comfortable because now you're not trying to hide anything.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Some great points.
And so those are the kind of things that I often tell people. Make the officer feel comfortable. Because trust me, he don't want you feeling jittery and jumpy.
Right.
And he don't want to be jittery and jumpy. Because when you're jittery and jumpy, it kind of forces me to put on my spidey sensors. Why are you jittery and jumpy? Why are you acting this way? I do realize it's an uncomfortable
because it might just be the simple fact of
it's an uncomfortable feeling getting pulled over.
Because we all brothers in here today, but it could be a racial thing. It could be a whole lot of things.
When I get pulled over.
I mean, they could simply be scared. Some people just scared of the police.
Exactly.
It ain't
and
even
again,
that they did anything wrong.
Again,
they just scared
a lot
of the
time
police.
That's based off
it's
of.
It's just scared of police.
Your experiences and
experiences,
family members' experiences.
Family members.
We don't have enough time tonight.
TV
we,
shows.
We're
things,
get,
all
we're getting
those
to
type
the
of things.
End of this
exactly.
first right. podcast, but most definitely, just to kind of wrap it up and bring it on home, man, it's real out here. And. Sound Like Athena Protection is really trying to help our consumers, or not consumers, but our law-abiding citizens, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'll use that as a phrase. I like that. We're going to keep going back to that.
We can keep going back to that.
You know, we want to make sure at Athena Protection, we making sure when you get out here, you, number one, educated, you feel comfortable and safe. And we don't have time to get into the details of it, but something that's really important, and we see all the time, unfortunately, with these accidents in the home, how to maintain a weapon in your home safely.
That's number one.
You know,
that's
key. And I'm sure we could, again, use a whole nother hour just talking about that itself.
Well, so we can do that. So if people want to get in touch with us, they can reach us on Facebook, Athena Protection Service, or you can give us a call at 800-951-4866. That's 1-800-951-4866. Or reach us on our website at athenaprotections.com. It's athenaprotection with an S.com.
Okay. And you can register for the classes online as well as calling that 800 number.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
And right now, when are the classes being offered?
Saturday or Sunday. Saturdays and Sundays.
So Saturday and Sundays you can go to this class. Okay, that's some great information.
All right.
So we getting into the last couple of minutes here. Just, you know, this was pretty interesting. First time doing this. I can truly say I've been one of those long-time podcast listeners, first time actually being involved.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Exactly. You know, I was thinking about that, Pineapple Express. Won't even get into that. Whole nother story. But this was really cool, guys. I look forward to doing this again. Somehow I end up taking on the role as the host of the show.
You're the host.
I like it, and that's, you know, we talk about what I bring to the table. I bring that personality and exactly what we did today. So. Thanks, Will, again. It's always good to meet or follow up with somebody. I knew you looked familiar as soon as you walked in. And Dan, my business partner, as well as my people, my family, my blood, I really appreciate this.
And our producer.
And the producer. So, again, I'm Carl. This is Dan.
Will.
First guest is Will. These two cool cats, again, appreciate everybody listening to us. And we're going to make this thing happen. Law-abiding citizens, Athena Protection Services. Look us up.
All right.
All right.
Peace out.